Hi, everybody, and welcome to part two of Meet the Blade Runners.
Do it happier.
A special by the Blade Runner Minute podcast.
He's like bubbly.
And in this special, in this episode, we're going to talk about
Deckard. Don't stagger so much over you.
Can you stop speaking at the same time? We're going to highlight Deckard, played by Mr. Harrison Ford, who is so cool that he actually has spider or butterfly or something named after him. And he rescues people with his helicopter. Not because they asked him to, because he was just flying his helicopter and he happened to be there.
So if they didn't ask him, how do you even know they needed rescuing? Did he just ruin somebody's picnic?
I mean, like, it's not like he's...
Did he rope down? It's not like he was sitting at home... Hang on to me.
...watching old movies. And they said, we need your helicopter. He's just out on a casual helicopter ride. And he's just like, he hears it over the radio.
Are you sure they didn't call him to help?
I don't think they did.
Maybe they were on his property.
But I'm going to change history and just say he was just happened to be in the perfect place and he's the only person in the world who could rescue him very dramatic like. He like has the helicopter flying and he sticks like a broom handle in it to keep the wheel straight and he rappels down the side of the mountain and there's an epic storm. And he throws the spiders and butterflies that are named after him at the mountain to make sure it would help protect the people who he's rescuing. It was very epic. You
Minions,
should have been there.
Rescue! He throws them out.
Yeah. So Deckard. Let's talk about Deckard. Who's Deckard?
So Meet the Blade Runners Part 2? That's what this is?
Yes. So let's talk about who Deckard is, and then we'll talk about who Harrison is. This one's Rick Deckard? This is Deckard.
The third Blade Runner? Possibly fourth, because I think Bryant is a Blade Runner. But that'd be the most boring episode. Because that chair and Bryant are just...
Well, he has the whiskey.
He gets up at one point, towards the end of the movie. He's standing there.
Talk about Deckard, for crying out loud.
Rick Deckard.
Is what?
Hold on, I got all the notes jumbled up. I got the Harrison Ford and the Deckard notes. Rick Deckard. Hampton Fancher, the writer, one of the writers.
Yeah.
Originally wanted Robert Mitchum.
Yes, he wanted Robert Mitchum to play him. Robert Mitchum.
Do you know who Robert Mitchum is?
Yes. Do you want to tell people?
Do you remember him in Cape Fear? The original and the remake?
I remember him mostly in Scrooged.
Scrooged? Oh, you took...
And the big sleeve.
He's the narrator of Tombstone.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Western.
Yeah.
Is it my favorite Western?
I don't know. He did a lot of Westerns. My dad really liked him. He has a huge body of work, Robert Mitchum. They even wanted Dustin Hoffman to play this role. But
Ridley Scott wanted Dustin Hoffman.
And he was basically signed on. You know, Dustin Hoffman was in Tootsie. And he was in Hook and about a million other things. But
no, not before this. Oh, I thought you were going to mention stuff he was in.
No, I mentioned stuff after.
Okay.
Because I know more from after. But he left because of creative differences. They just had a different idea. But there were a
Dustin
lot of
Hoffman,
big names.
Well, how far did he get? He read for it? Or he was...
I think they were in the planning stages because they just had a difference of opinion how to play the character. And I totally just wanted to talk about Rick Deckard, the character, first. But now we're just talking about the acting part of it first.
No, because
we're talking about the acting
how
part.
He was being
so then
cast.
We'll
That's
just
fine.
Talk about Harrison Ford first.
We haven't gotten into Harrison Ford yet.
Well, this means they're not talking about Deckard yet. I wanted to talk about who he is.
Do you have Deckard notes?
I have both. Because I'm a nerd.
I have no real Deckard notes. I just have the role.
Oh, no. You told me to do everything. Again, you give me a homework assignment and you do...
Well, I wanted to talk about Robert Mitchum for a minute, but you kind of went right past that into Dustin Hoffman.
What else do you want to say about Robert Mitchum?
Well, first of all, how the hell could you picture Dustin Hoffman in this movie?
I couldn't, but...
What's your favorite Dustin Hoffman movie?
Oh, I love Hook and Tootsie, so that's why I wrote them. I didn't write anything else because I love Hook and Tootsie.
I liked him in Outbreak.
He was great in Outbreak.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff and you don't see him coming.
I can't remember now.
Because he has one of those things where he just blends in and then you hear the movies and you're like,
so
oh, it's
long.
Awesome. He did a couple of shows too on HBO, I believe.
Robert Mitchum, a little bit before my time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I remember him from Scrooged and I remember the small role he played in the remake of Cape Fear, I remember that guy being in a lot of popular film noir detective flicks.
Yeah.
I would catch randomly on like TBS or something like that. The hat, the coat, and
cigarette probably.
Yeah,
smoky atmosphere.
It's always raining. He may have been in 1982, might have been perfect for this.
Well, they had other people that they wanted for this too. You read the whole list?
No, I didn't read the whole list.
The who, it's like a who's who of 70s and 80s Hollywood.
Right.
And the big names that stuck out to me were things like Gene Hackman.
Really?
Burt Reynolds.
Fresh off at that point, did he do French Connection?
Yeah.
At that point already, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, who else?
Burt Reynolds. Smokey and the Bandit.
Sure.
Like, there were, the list went on and on. It was like a list
Tom
of like
Selleck 15 must have been on that list.
I'm 100% sure, and then he did Magnum P.I., so it was fine.
Well, he was supposed to be Indiana Jones also.
Yes.
He was always
an Alta Harrison.
Yeah, he's always been neck
and then we know from the previous episode that Holden was in the running for Deckard as well.
Yeah.
Only because he was the stand-in. I don't think they ever really considered him.
I don't think the movie would have made any money because this banked on... I mean, it didn't do that well in the box office anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too weird for Americans.
It's cult following now is what it is.
Yeah, and any business it did in the States, I think, was...
Clearly
because of Star Wars and...
Because of Harrison.
Was Raiders out at this point? Raiders was 81, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I'm right about that one. So you put Robert Mitchum or
Robert Mitchum was a big name at the time, so was Burt Reynolds.
Mm.
So was Gene Hackman. Those were big, big names. Growing up, you don't remember how much they talked about Lonnie Anderson and Burt Reynolds all the time.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, Smokey and the Bandit. What am I
they
talking
needed
about?
A, they needed a... Yeah, they couldn't course. Have done Holden. They had to do a big name actor. And it was a serious list of big name actors.
Oh, Morgan Paul? You're saying they couldn't have put Morgan
they
Paul
couldn't
in
have
role.
Because
right,
of that.
Right, right,
they
right.
needed a star. And those
yeah,
are the
of
years
course.
Where they you didn't have like an ensemble cast the way you have MCU, the universe, the Marvel universe, where there's a ton of big stars in it. Back then you really had like a star in the movie, and that was the go-to.
Are you right about that? What about the Magnificent Seven and all those westerns and stuff? They had like five
John
or six.
Wayne in.
Oh,
Clint Eastwood in.
Obviously,
Chuck Norris in.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Primarily, yeah. Primarily,
you didn't
up,
do a
ins-
big
up until recently. Oh wow, the movies that have like
57 lead actors.
It's The Rock now, or Vin Diesel.
Yeah, but you don't really.
Those
see
are the movies that have like the one star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Rock and Dwayne Johnson and Jumanji and oh well, you're right. We don't know. Jesus, we got the shitty. Stars now.
No,
I mean, I love The Rock,
but we just don't keep up with that stuff anymore. We're not as
but
into today's pop culture. We're a retro pop culture.
Where's 1991 De Niro and Pacino? Where what happened? We don't have that caliber.
Yeah, we have what's his name, Zac Efron, and
all right,
Robert
I'm not,
Pattinson.
I'm not gonna,
right?
I'm not gonna. Yeah. All right. Oh, you got what's his face? The Harry Potter kid that showed his pee-pee
and,
on stage.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe.
Radcliffe's great.
And you got
but he's
Emma
not
Watson
really doing,
and stuff.
Oh, Emma Watson does.
But we don't think of them as huge names. You know, they're good character actors. It's just a different ballgame now with the internet. You might as well just watch a YouTube video or look up old Vines on Instagram. It's a different kind
yeah.
of ballgame. And it's just as different. I think we should have mentioned that Dustin Hoffman was in... The Graduate? Is it wrong that we didn't mention that huge movie that made him a name? That we didn't mention it at all?
Tell me about Rick Deckard.
So.
The character.
Moving on, can we finish talking about Harrison? So Harrison Ford was... Harrison,
I thought you wanted to
no,
go
No, we're
Rick
already
first.
Talking about actors, so we're going to finish talking about Harrison
well,
as an actor.
Well, then I'm going to start Harrison.
I'm an actor. Go
I'm
ahead.
Gonna, acting! Harrison Ford, born on July 13th, 1942. He's 176
years
old.
He's not 176
years
old.
He's 176
years
old.
He's 76 years old.
He's born in Chicago, Illinois.
And he could still kick your ass. Don't you love that he's born in Chicago and then he did, The Fugitive in Chicago?
Was that in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Well, because they're like, where do they got L's? Which city do they have L's?
Elevated train. I want to hear the sound of an elevated train. He was originally credited as Harrison J. Ford.
Why? Was there another Harrison Ford?
There was another J, so he wouldn't be confused with a silent film actor with the same name. Harrison Ford actually has no middle name. So he just put the J there to differentiate.
Why J?
Jesus. They were both carpenters. Tell me that doesn't make sense. Tell me that doesn't make sense and I'll walk out of the room right now.
I would have done a G.
For God?
No.
For God damn, I'm good.
Because...
I'm good at this stuff.
Alphabet. F-G-H... Right, so it would be the alphabet, right?
Or backwards.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have called that. I thought you were wrong at first. I was like, that's backwards.
HGF, yeah.
And you meant backwards.
No.
Harrison Ford was hired by Francis Ford Coppola to expand his office, because Ford is a carpenter as well as an actor before he got really big.
And I'm sure he still does woodworking in his basement or his garage like Nick Offerman does.
And they gave him a small role in Apocalypse Now, playing Colonel G. Lucas.
Did they?
Yeah. Interesting. I've seen Apocalypse Now once or twice.
I've seen it once.
I never got into it. How about you?
It was a little bleak. It was hard
to... I wanna
we're
going
to go back
again.
To it when there's no children in the house one day.
Yeah, definitely.
So in what, like 6 years?
Definitely. What's your favorite Harrison Ford movie?
I gotta choose.
Do you have any? It's okay
do,
if you don't have any.
Do I have
any.
To choose one movie of his that I like?
Do you like him enough to... I know you're down for this podcast, but I don't
like,
know
I
how
loved
much
Regarding
of
Henry. When I don't know why
That's
I've
right,
always loved it.
That's right, you're not an action sci-fi chick as much as...
I love... Now, hold the phone.
Wait, Regarding Henry is the one with the Ritz crackers?
Yes.
I really, really like
See?
That.
See? Really and like I really, that. Really loved, especially growing up, Temple of Doom.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Sabrina.
No, but I actually saw that in the theaters on Christmas with my old crew from when I was a teenager.
You had a crew, did you?
Yeah, should I name drop them?
No.
But which was interesting that's the movie we all chose to go see. But I really love Temple Doom. And when I think about him, I probably think about Star Wars, Temple Doom. I love Last Crusade. I really liked Regarding Henry a lot. That movie he did on the beach right. where they got
was it
stranded.
In
I, that's
in
forgettable. H? And what else did he do recently?
Recently, American Graffiti. he was in American Graffiti. He was
which
in Star
was
Wars.
Star.
Raiders
yeah.
of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
For Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
The Jack Ryan series. Patriot Games.
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger. You know which one I didn't like as much was Patriot Games.
Yeah, I got the hiccups.
And that's got Sean Bean in it, right? So that's Han Solo versus Boromir.
And he dies.
Boromir dies?
Doesn't he always die?
He always dies. That's Sean Bean, baby.
Even my mother said it, and she never remembers
Sean Bean
anyone.
Doesn't make it.
I think my father once told me, too, like, that guy always dies in the movies, but he's the same person who thought Robert De Niro and Pacino were the same person in Heat. And then he was like, okay, they're not the same person, they're brothers. And we're like, no, that's not at all.
Huge megastar.
He is a megastar.
Huge megastar beyond any
Doesn't
any,
put
anything.
Out as many movies as other people, but he's Harrison Ford. He will always be Harrison Ford.
And a charming son of a bitch, too. I just saw him. I didn't just see him, but I remember catching an episode of, I think we both did, of Graham Norton.
I didn't see that episode.
He's on the couch with Benedict Cumberbatch. And just in the middle of the interview, he just turns his back to the camera, back to the host, to Benedict Cumberbatch. He says, I love you on that Sherlock show. You're really great. Benedict Cumberbatch looked like he was blushing.
If,
such a compliment.
If Harrison Ford turned to me and said, I like your shoes,
stopped.
I would probably pee on the floor. Like,
he stopped
like,
everything.
Let's just start with, if Harrison Ford stopped to talk to me, I would have been like, is it to me? Is he talking to me?
You think he's closer to Indiana Jones in real life or Han Solo in real life? Or Deckard in real life, where he's just trying to get the hell out of there and finish his noodles?
I think he's
Since
all
it's
three.
A Blade Runner podcast, maybe I should have mentioned Deckard.
I think he's all three, right? I think he's a little combination of all. He really goes his own way, right? He lives on a ranch somewhere in one of those square states. Flies a helicopter, like he stays away from Hollywood. He's not part of that, although he's now married to Calista Flockhart.
Who's the more attractive male to you as a heterosexual woman? Deckard, Indiana Jones, or Han Solo? Think about it for a second. Think about it. Deckard, who gets drunk at Taffy's place and
no,
calls up...
No, it's not Deckard.
It's not Deckard?
It's not Deckard.
Because he's only vulnerable when he's drunk and he's calling up Rachel.
And he's so mean to her.
I'm at Taffy's place.
He's so aggressive.
Or Han Solo, who's just
about
to die, as far as he knows. And she's
Indiana
like, I love
Jones.
You. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because he's so, like, aloof about it.
Or Indy, who's playing those games with the fruit.
I have to say, it has to be Indiana Jones, because he's a nerd, because he's a professor.
Yeah.
And I'm really a nerd, and we would talk nerd stuff, and yeah. then we would go and do
on
the
adventures.
Action stuff and do adventures based on the nerd stuff that we studied together.
Yeah.
And the hat. But he seems dirtier physically than Han Solo.
Right.
So that would be a little bit of an issue.
Wait, Han Solo who hangs out with a giant dog seems cleaner.
Because he's not sweaty all the time. Like Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones is always sweaty, sleeves are rolled up, you see like the pit stains from being in the desert and stuff like that, in the sand.
I feel like I would...
And in Harrison...
Go ahead, sorry.
And then Han Solo isn't. And Chewbacca looks very clean. You don't see muck in his fur ever. I gotta figure he's very clean. I wonder if Harrison like picks through his fur the way
I have
like,
to.
The
I have
do.
To. I have to ask a question in the Star Wars Minute group to see if they ever mentioned Chewbacca grooming himself, because I feel like they've talked about that before, because I want the scene where Chewbacca's just licking himself.
No, but I do like that in the new ones where he's flirting with the nurse.
Yeah.
You're very brave.
So as a dude, if I were to hang out with a character that Harrison Ford has portrayed, I would have to say Deckard.
Because you want someone to drink with?
He seems like a good drinking buddy. Seems like someone that generally...
Can we put a poll on when this goes up on the page and ask people to vote? Who would you date
or hang out with?
Now, if you were homosexual, if you like dudes.
If I liked dudes, I would... would I want to be with the guy who owns his own spaceship and has a dog that I could play with? Would I be with the guy that hangs out downtown in the seedy underbelly of society and hunts robots and can't take me anywhere fancy? Would I want to hang out with the archaeologist that I'm it's so tiring.
He may take jewels from
I'm going to take Han Solo every time.
Really? Because of the spaceship?
Because of the spaceship.
Go on space adventures?
Going on a trip.
Go ahead, do it.
No, it's okay.
Do it. Sorry, do it. We cut it before. Do it.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So yeah, that's how I would roll. But Harrison Ford, what else has he done lately other than Blade Runner 2049?
I didn't like him in Blade Runner 2049. Did you know that?
Why?
I didn't like the way he was acting in it. I thought he looked silly in the car when he was handcuffed.
You know, I have to be honest. I look at.
I loved him. I loved him as Han Solo in Force Awakens, though. Even though I kind of cooled off on The Force Awakens generally as a film, I love Harrison Ford in that movie, and I wish Mark Hamill brought that spark. We're taking over this podcast and we're going to just knock The Last Jedi.
I love Harrison Ford, but he has a default acting style.
I know exactly what you mean, and I'm okay with it.
It's kind of like the lack of effect. Like, he's kind of like cool and nonchalant about a lot of things. He's no Gary Oldman that he could turn himself into your closet and you'll be like, Gary Oldman played the closet?
If Harrison Ford was in a Harry Potter movie, he would be Harrison Ford. Signing autographs as Harrison Ford.
Whereas Alan Rickman isn't Alan Rickman. He is clearly...
Well, you know, they choose these movies. They choose the cast for these movies for a reason.
But I don't have a problem with him being Harrison Ford. Like, no. I go to a Harrison Ford movie expecting to see Harrison Ford. Regarding Henry, though, he kind of really breaks that mold of what he is, but he doesn't venture away from that, and he doesn't have to. You don't have to try out your acting chops.
Was he good in Ender's Game? Did I just break your brain? I'm sorry.
Let's be very clear that I love Ender's Game. I'm a big fan of the books. I've always been a big fan of the books. Even when Orson Scott Card really starts making it more about religion than about the future stuff that you loved in the first book, the movie was not...
Are you sure? You barely watched it.
And you're right, by the way. That was more than enough. Sure. It was not true to the story at all. The heart that you felt in the story was not there. The thing that made it special, the thing that made it stand out. He didn't really play the character in the book was really well thought out, and that didn't come across in the movie. Part of it is because they cut so much of it.
So this Rick Deckard character in this film Blade Runner.
Please don't talk about Ender's Game again. That makes
this
me
Rick
sick.
Deckard character in this film Blade Runner that we're
talking
about.
Yeah, let's talk about Deckard.
Do you have notes that you want to talk about? Or do you have stuff off your head?
I have a lot of stuff. So Deckard is a retired Blade Runner, right? Who is a bounty hunter for replicants or maybe like a plainclothes cop, but he's definitely retired. They pull him out of retirement completely unwillingly to find some missing nexuses.
Why would you think he might be a plainclothes cop as opposed to just straight up Blade Runner like Gaff?
Well, they're Blade Runners, but the way I classify it, is it bounty hunter style where they're like on a commission, or they get assignments and they only work when they have assignments, or plainclothes cop style?
Great, great question, because I was thinking the same.
Because they don't have a badge. They never show a badge.
Are they on patrol?
Yeah, like I don't think of it like that.
Are they on patrol, and if somebody is, if they see a crime, are they supposed to go and stop a regular crime, or are they just on hold for the replicant hunts? That's a great question.
Yeah, I took him more of a bounty hunter. I think it's because the book, he's more of a bounty hunter style. Like, he gets paid per replicant.
But I don't take it that way in the movie. They have their badges. They're well. I'm thinking of the voiceover version. He called it a unit or a squad or something. They made it seem They made it seem a lot more official with the voiceover when he was explaining the retired Blade Runner and all in the beginning.
Deckard was an interesting character. He's very reluctant. He has, like we said, Harrison has that default acting style where Deckard really shows a lack of effect, and I think that's really appropriate to this movie. That you're a little bit desensitized to the things that are happening around you, and you have to be. You're killing these things that look like human, but aren't human, and that has to weigh like heavily on your mind or your soul, because we do talk about soul a lot in this. The replicants are these genetically designed artificial human beings, right? Because that's the way they're usually put, whether they're mechanical or not.
Used for a spectrum of different purposes. Yeah, 100%. We still don't know why Rachel was even made.
But we start to think about, like, there's a theorist, psychologist named Ian DeSutty, who talks about this taboo on tenderness. Have you ever heard this taboo on tenderness? That people in the future and in certain cultures have a taboo on being good to each other. Like, you just shouldn't be too close to one another. We kind of push ourselves away. And we're starting to get that a lot in our society now, that we separate ourselves with the phones, even when we're eating dinner. And it's supposed to be intimate. So this movie has the same thing. Like, people aren't together. People aren't touching. They're all very cold to each other, whether they're replicant or not. So this taboo of tenderness idea becomes really interesting to me, because we start talking about what makes you human and whether you have a soul. And then really, how much empathy can we feel for something that's far away from us, right? So if these replicants are supposed to be far, how do we feel bad for them when they're far from us? Like, it's happening over there. It's not happening here, so why do I care?
Bad for them being slaves?
Yeah, like, for whatever they're going through. Like, why would I care if they're far away? And the same thing happens nowadays with war. Why should I how much effort and emotion can I put in?
You don't care until it's right in your face.
Yeah, because it's not right there. Like, how... Right. I'm not connected to it.
And even then, all you do is change your profile picture to a...
With a flag in the background that says a message.
Right, and all of a sudden, you're contributing. Right.
I donate my birthday to the cause.
Yeah, there you go.
So there is this taboo, and it really is important for today's world, and I think I appreciate this movie more when I start thinking about
now
it like
that.
Now
I need to change my profile picture to put a Tyrell Corporation flag. We remember.
And then we also have this situation in this world that he's living in where people are being asked to immigrate to off-world colonies, right? And you got to figure not everyone can afford to, so I would assume that companies let you borrow money from them to do that, and it makes this debt to the company, which makes you, you're not personal anymore. It depersonalizes you because you owe money to a far-off company.
Where'd you get this from? This is just pure speculation.
Yeah, I'm just shooting the thing. This is my thoughts.
Jesus Christ.
And it makes dispensable workers, so what's more dispensable than a robot? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how we got to this place in this world where Deckard has this lack of effect and he doesn't care. That's where my whole train of thought was coming from. Why is Deckard so, like, whatever about anything?
I don't think Deckard's... You and I have been at odds on that opinion since the beginning. I don't feel that Deckard is whatever. His attitude is whatever towards, or doesn't care. I think he just wants to be at peace with himself. I think he's trying to retire and be at peace. Here's the real question. If Deckard's a replicant, which... I'm sorry, did you have more?
No, go on. I have a lot more. Right, I have a lot of thoughts.
If Deckard's a replicant, which we're watching the 2007 final cut, and it has the unicorn origami and the unicorn dream, Deckard's a replicant in this movie, in this version, according to the director himself.
Well,
sorry, everybody.
I got thoughts about that, too.
I'll discuss it.
But I got thoughts about that too.
Ridley Scott stands up on a big old podium and says, you know, FTW, Deckard's a replicant. So here's my question. If Deckard's a replicant, how was he even allowed to retire?
Okay. So
keep it within the confines of he is a replicant. Let's try to answer. Let's make it challenging.
Okay.
So he is a replicant.
Do you want me to give you my reasons why he is a replicant?
I'm not saying he is.
I'll give you my reasons why he is a replicant.
Let's play devil's advocate.
I'm going to give you the reasons why I think he's a replicant, not just from this movie.
No. All right, before you do that, let's say he's a replicant.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
How is he even allowed to retire?
Plot hole. Okay. If he is a replicant, right, what makes me think he is a replicant, I'm going to take 2049 into account. because I'm sure everyone has seen this.
Yeah, we're doing, this is a special episode.
So anyway, 2049, he lives in a city that was destroyed clearly by a dirty bomb, right? If he's a human, he wouldn't be able to live there. He would die.
Yeah.
But if he's a replicant, he should just be fine because obviously they don't really breathe the way we do. We saw that with Batty and Leon, that they didn't have the vapor coming out of their mouths while they were talking to Chew. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was living in a place killed by destroyed by a dirty bomb. Gav says when they go visit him in 2049, he's not of this world, and there was something in his eyes. Because again, with the eyes, so it was that red-orange glow. Maybe Gav saw something. Maybe it was a number imprint. I don't know. It could be whatever it is. Ridley says he's some kind of nexus and with an unknown lifespan the way Rachel is. Gav obviously knows something. Does Bryant know something? I don't know. Does it even matter if he's a replicant or not? They were obviously designed. If he is a replicant, then he's designed the same way as Rachel. Does he even have... Was he even a replicant? Was he even a Blade Runner? Maybe that was his first mission, but they implanted the thoughts of a different Blade Runner into him. We don't know. The bigger question stands to reason. If they were both replicants that were of a newer model that nobody's ever seen... Were Rachel and Deckard designed to fall in love to complete this experiment to see if they could have a child? Like, but then does love make you human? Does the fact that you can love make you more? Are those emotions what make you human? I don't know. Harrison and Fancher both vote that he's human. In the book, he passes the VK.
What book are you talking about?
In Android's Dream of Electricity.
It has nothing to do with this movie.
Well, it's part of it.
No, it's not.
But if he's human, despite the unicorn...
You look like you're in pain when you say he's human or a replicant. You're completely torn.
Yes, I'm completely torn. If he's human, he's the saddest man alive.
I don't see it that way.
Would you like to know why he's the saddest man alive?
Tell me why he's the saddest
man alive. He falls in love with Rachel, right? Who may or may not have a limited lifespan. They may not have put that into her, right? But she's not human. She gets pregnant by whatever miracle. And he has to leave. He has to leave to protect her and the child. He doesn't want to leave. He has to live alone in dirty Las Vegas, like the band, right? He has to live in Las Vegas alone to protect them. Here he is loving someone. And he's not there. So to really love them, he has to be a stranger to them. That's what proves his love. Like, that's... And that's so sad for me. I can't bear the thought of him being human, and I can't bear the thought of him being a replicant, because neither adds up in the equation. Like, it's always uneven. I know that getting back to the actual movie, I feel like these replicants want... Like, when you talk about Batty and Deckard fighting at the end, I feel like he wants him to feel what the replicants feel. Like, I want you to know what we're going through. And by the end of the movie, Deckard and Batty are really the same. They're both hunter and they're both hunted because they're running around in circles around each other, where sometimes one is the aggressor, sometimes the other is the aggressor. I love that he's saved by Roy and Roy dies, but not because he killed him, but because of the other injuries they sustained.
Do you ever wonder why Roy didn't kill Deckard? Is it the most obvious answer that's right on the tip of your tongue right now? That you have to know? That you must know?
Go ahead, tell me what you think.
That he knew, that Roy knew that...
I think he saw something Deckard in his eyes as well. Deckard was a replicant,
and he couldn't kill his own. Because he killed every other person, or at least terrorized or brutalized every other person he'd encountered so far.
And what he didn't notice until the end? And if
J.F. Sebastian hadn't run out of Tyrell's apartment... I'm sure JF would have been next.
So you...
They didn't let Chu live. They didn't let Tyrell live.
But not that he suddenly realized the importance of life?
No, of course not.
But of course... So you truly believe he's a replicant, right?
Yeah. At this point, thanks to this podcast, everything we've researched...
Can we put one of those surveys up? Like, what do you think? I had way too many notes for this because this was really big for me.
I think you did a great job.
This empathy thing and the taboo on tenderness, that taboo on tenderness really struck a chord with me.
Yeah, I think you did a great job. Try not to rustle too many papers.
No, I want them to know how many papers I have.
Okay, because it's really loud on the mic. You son of a gun. You son of a gun.
I really feel for this Deckard character, whether if he's human... And if he's replicant, I feel for him too, because he obviously felt that love and emotion, those emotions for his child and his daughter. His child and his wife.
That was great. That was a lot of good research. Thank you.
A lot of it was from my brain.
I loved it.
From the brain.
And obviously we didn't cover everything that Deckard went through.
But stay tuned to the movie. Podcast.
But that's the point of the podcast. We're going to give you Deckard scene by scene, minute by minute. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you and girls, and you know whatever other creatures are out there listening to
unicorns.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.